Okay, Alexander, we have to do another video on Russiagate. Cut to Russiagate. Durham in more specific. And we did a video on the indictment of Sussman, the lawyer at Perkins Coie. And I think I pronounced that right, Perkins Coie, or I'm not sure how that's pronounced.
I think it is pronounced that way.
Is it pronounced Perkins Coie? Okay.
I think so.
So we talked about Sussman and that indictment. And we talked about the mysterious man known as Durham, if he even does exist. But anyway, that's a different subject. You know, we have a lot of rumors now, Alexander, about Durham, that he is going to now put forth some indictments on Peter Strzok, on Lisa Page, and a whole lot of other people. What do you make of that? Is Durham ramping things up in this whole Russiagate saga? Is he doing this in anticipation of a Republican win in the midterms, House and Senate? Is something happening here?
I don't know, and I have to say I'm very skeptical. I have to say that if he wanted to bring indictments against Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, McCabe, all those terrible people, I mean, what prevented him doing so? I mean, the evidence was always there. We know, for example, lots now about the Pfizer abuse, which was central to the whole thing. I mean, I am beginning to become extremely sceptical that we're going to see any serious or important indictments at all. There is one thing that does give me pause and which does make me wonder whether there might just be something coming out of this story. And that is, I've had another look since we did our programme at Durham's indictment of Sussman. And thinking about it rather a lot, he does plant all sorts of clues which are very interesting. I mean, one particular clue, for example, which I would really love to know the answer to, is that he's a central figure that played a big role in getting Russiagate going, or at least getting the Alpha Bank story. This is the story about this mysterious back channel between Donald Trump and the Russians that went through the Russian bank, Alpha Bank, which was all based on spam emails, which didn't make any kind of sense and didn't really amount to anything, but which the FBI incredibly took incredibly seriously. Well, one of the things about it was that Durham says that Perkins Coie brought all this to the FBI, and it was all based on technical data and investigation done by an important tech executive and his company. And this is apparently a very powerful individual within the world of, you know, high tech, big tech, and cyber security and all that. And that this particular individual was angling for a senior post in the Clinton administration, and that the FBI apparently uncritically accepted the evidence of this particular tech person, the CEO, this executive, the senior tech executive, and that that was what caused them to launch this investigation of the Alpha Bank story, which quickly proved to be completely untrue. Now, Durham actually didn't need to go into all that detail about that. And he does. He goes into a great deal of detail about it, and it's all very interesting. And thinking about it, it did remind me of something else which had happened earlier in Russiagate. And I want to be very clear now. I'm not making any connections. I'm not pointing fingers at any particular person or persons. But it did remind me a lot about the story of the DNC hack, which is, or rather I should say, the alleged DNC hack. If you remember, what happened was that the Democrats, Perkins Coie, all of those people, came to the FBI, said that the DNC had been hacked, that the Russians had exfiltrated all these emails and passed them on to WikiLeaks. And this is all based upon an investigation of the DNC computers carried out by a tech company, which was, of course, in that case, that particular tech company has been identified in its CrowdStrike. And that there was a report from CrowdStrike And that report was provided to the FBI, and the FBI accepted that report. They didn't second guess it. They didn't carry out their own investigations. And that led to really the start of Russiagate. That was the big central story of Russiagate. So here you have two very similar stories, if you like, both based on information provided by tech companies and by a senior tech executive. In the case of, obviously, the CrowdStrike affair, that was Dmitry Alperovich and CrowdStrike who provided all the information on the hack, the alleged hack. We don't know, and it's very interesting, by the way, that we don't know who the tech executive and the tech people were who provided the information on the Alpha Bank story. But there are some very interesting parallels. Some of the same people definitely were involved in both affairs. And, you know, one would like to know an awful lot more about what was going on. I mean, Perkins Coie, the Hillary Clinton campaign, the Democrats were involved in both affairs. And one would like to know a little bit more. And, you know, one does wonder whether somebody in the Clinton DNC were saying to themselves, well, you know, what succeeded with the DNC computers might also succeed with the Alpha Bank story. And let's try and repeat that scenario all over again, and that they came to the FBI with it. And it may be, it may just be, that that's what Durham is pointing us to, in which case perhaps we're looking at a bigger investigation, a more interesting investigation than the one up to now I've been giving Durham credit for.
Who is driving this this investigation, though? Because Durham, I mean, if Joe Biden, if the White House was doing a bang up job and things were looking really, really good, you know, come midterms, I have serious doubts that the Durham investigation would be moving along like this. I would actually think that it would get buried. But I would guess that there are Republicans, or there are people in D.C., very powerful people, that are telling Durham and his team, once again, if Durham even exists, and his team that, look, start ramping up this investigation. Let's start getting indictments in. Let's start figuring out what's going on, what went on in Russiagate, because come 2022, it's going to be a different political landscape.
Mm. Well, absolutely. Well, let's look at who appointed Durham. And that was Barr, who, as we subsequently found out, was very much aligned with the the establishment wing of the Republican Party, the Mitch McConnell wing of the Republican Party, if you like. And who is currently supervising Barr? Supervising Durham, it's Garland, who is, of course, currently the Attorney General, and who was somebody who, if you remember, was originally proposed for a Supreme Court position by Barack Obama. So, you know, I wonder whether there is politics here, given the fact that, to be say straightforwardly, I wonder exactly what Biden's role was. I do want, and also what, well, the Clintons had. I do wonder whether there isn't an agenda being followed here in advance of the midterms to prepare some kind of sensational report, a huge flurry of indictments in the run-up to the midterms, which then change the narrative, the political narrative in advance of the midterms, and open the path both for one wing of the Republican Party, which is the Mitch McConnell wing, and one wing of the Democratic Party, which could be the Obama wing. Again, it's a guess, but it does seem to me as if nothing about Durham is as it, you know, is supposed to appear. As you rightly said, we've barely seen the man. We don't really know whether he even really has, well, who he is or much about him. And the people who appointed him, it's suggestive. And the people who are supervising him now, it's suggestive also. And note that that they are not supporters, the people who appointed him are not supporters of Donald Trump, and the people who are supervising him don't appear to be affiliated with the Biden or Clinton wings of the Democratic Party.
Exactly. That's what gets me about this whole Durham thing, is that logic would say that the Democrats won across the board, and they're going to bury this. It's over and done. Case closed. Russiagate is a thing of the past. We're not going to talk about it anymore. But that's not what's happening, especially now. It was, I mean, we did have a lot of silence, say, the first, I don't know, 6 months of the Biden presidency. But all of a sudden, we've got a flurry of activity, and there's a lot of people talking about this, and there are a lot of people that are talking about the potential indictments that are going to be coming out. And I think you nailed it, because the indictments that we're seeing, the names that are being dropped, and the one that we have seen is clearly aimed at the Clinton wing of the Democrat power base. We know Merrick Garland was very much aligned with the Obama power base. And of course, like you said, it's Barr appointing Durham, and Barr is McConnell's guy. It seems like there's maybe been like a backroom deal to say, you know, McConnell speaking with Obama saying, okay, we're going to work together on this in order to each get what we want out of this. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there too.
We can only guess. Look, there's just two things to say. First of all, reading that indictment again, it is suggestive. It's a 27-page indictment, which seems excessive given the relatively minor offence with which Sussman was being charged with. I mean, you did not need this enormously long, detailed indictment, which goes into all sorts of details about all kinds of people and points at fingers at in all kinds of ways. It's as if this indictment is being used to prepare us for more revelations to come, and to set up, I'm going to say it straightforwardly, to set up a narrative. And it's an interesting one. And it, I mean, by the way, when I say set up a narrative, doesn't mean that the narrative isn't true, or at least isn't a part of the truth. But that seems to be what it's doing, that it's preparing us for a report which is coming. So that's the first thing to say. And the second is that it does seem that the way this is working out is very much for the benefit of two wings of the two parties, the McConnell wing and the Obama wing. I mean, one can't really see this working at all in Donald Trump's favour, and I can't see that any Democrat, certainly the Clintons, can be pleased that Durham and his investigation are still ongoing and are still are coming up with these kind of indictments. So a backroom deal? Well, we don't know. But the backroom deals do take place in Washington. People do meet and talk things out and come to agreements like that. If you think that Washington, there aren't backroom deals like that in Washington, well, as I always say, then I have a bridge to sell you.
Yeah, I think we'll have a better understanding with the timing of whatever indictments do come out, whether they're before the midterms or after the midterms. I think that's when we'll know what games are being played.
Yes, I agree. I'm going to make a guess, actually. If my instincts about this are right, if our instincts are right, then we're probably going to see a report from Durham next year. By the way, I think I'm right in saying that his investigation is already lasted longer than Mueller's, which is pretty extraordinary, actually, when you think about it. But if we see a report appearing next year, then we can say that it's really time for the midterms, and it's all about that.
Can I ask you a question, though? Could you make the assessment that his investigation has taken so long because perhaps they did put a good pause in that investigation? No, they put a pin in it and they said, Durham, don't do anything. Just, you know, keep the investigation there, but don't do anything until we give you the go-ahead. If we give you the go-ahead.
Well, I have to say that actually is the simplest explanation. for why it is taking so long and has happened so completely under the radar. I'd have thought that a purposeful, active investigation, we would be seeing some signs of life from it. Instead, we see nothing at all for months and months and years, and suddenly there is this very interesting and rather complicated and rather suggestive indictment, which, as I said, seems to point us in certain directions. We don't have all the stories, and I want to make it very clear. I mean, we are making some guesses in what we said about... But, you know, there are some very striking parallels that one can draw between the DNC hack story and the Alpha Bank story. There are some rather odd resemblances, and I do wonder whether this is going to lead to something, perhaps about the DNC hack specifically, that, you know, we'll just have to wait and see what it is, and that might be timed for the eve of the midterms in a way that could do maximum damage to some people, and perhaps even conceivably cause a redrawing of the lines within the White House, within the administration itself, which, given that, as you correctly say, we're looking at a difficult transition, might be suggestive. I mean, can I just say, there's all sorts of weird things going on. I mean, I was reading just the other day that Kamala Harris has just gone to Palm Springs and come back again. Nobody seems to know why. I mean, it was all very odd. I mean, sort of moving backwards and forwards. It suggested to me that she was meeting someone.
Meetings. Exactly. Very weird stuff going on. All right, well, we'll continue to follow this story because I think we are going to get some more stuff coming out from the mystery man, Durham. But definitely go to our locals, everybody. There are no mysteries in our locals community. Just a lot of good information. So definitely go to us, theduran.locals.com. And the Durant shop, Alexander, pick up some
absolutely
merchandise.
Some merchandise, you know, our amazing hats, our mugs, our T-shirts, our long-sleeved, short-sleeved. They're the best. They're the absolute best.
And go to our new media platforms, Rumble, BitChute, SuperU, and Odyssey. You'll find all our videos there. All the links for everything is down below in the description box. Take care.